2 weeks ago, George Floyd, an African-American man, was asphyxiated while a white Minneapolis police officer pinned his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. The police officer has now been charged with murder. Mr. Floyd's killing, coming on the heels of the recent deaths of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, ignited protests against racism and police tactics that have broadened to include the nation's political leadership. Hundreds of cities and towns across the nation, indeed the world, have erupted with overwhelmingly peaceful protests as diverse groups of people take it to the streets to lend their voices to calls for change and justice. Of course, in America, there have been hundreds of years of racism, beginning with slavery and resulting in untold thousands of murders, both state-sponsored and individual. The nation's long, dishonorable history on race is well documented. The question now is, can the protests force change from the obstinate political status quo? In that regard, the nation has much to reckon with. The President of the United States has deliberately fanned the flames of rage, hoping that such chaos would redound to his electoral benefit in the upcoming November election. There is evidence that division and chaos can help a candidate who the public perceives as the law and order candidate. In the 1960s, peaceful protests that challenged the political order, in particular the most racist and violent public officials in the South, led to a violent overreaction that shocked the nation's conscience and pushed America to eliminate Jim Crow laws. But the assassinations of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King, and the resulting riots scared many Americans who wished for stability and calm, and that reaction helped elect Richard Nixon. That was 50 years ago. Half a century later in 2020, the plea for justice and an end to racism is beyond long overdue. Yet the president ordered federal troops to disperse peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C., so he can stroll from the White House for a photo op. Armed to the teeth, white counter-protesters are ignored while peaceful protesters are beaten, tear-gassed, and fired upon with rubber bullets. Journalists reporting on the protests are attacked. All of this exacerbates the public fear of chaos. It is clear what the president's intent is. What is not clear is what the nation will do. Unlike the 1960s, President Trump, as the incumbent, is often too responsible for causing conflict in the nation. His indifferent approach to the COVID-19 pandemic contributed to the catastrophic toll the nation has experienced, and his actions to crack down on peaceful protests, even calling for the U.S. military to dominate the streets, only makes the situation worse. Moreover, the president's longstanding practice of misleading the nation, including repeated obvious lies, further confuses the public while emboldening the president's supporters, even when the facts prove him wrong. In times like these, our elected officials should seek to diffuse the upheavals, not make them worse. Hundreds of thousands of Americans took to the streets this past weekend in big cities and small towns from coast to coast, marking some of the biggest demonstrations yet in the nationwide protests against systemic racism and the need for justice sparked by the murders of Mr. Floyd, Ms. Taylor, and Mr. Arbery. Will the street win? We've seen the street win in the toppling of dictators, the end of colonialization, and approval of rights for women and minorities in America. The stakes are high. Political desperation will lead to continued tactics to further divide the nation, to make it us versus them, instead of what's best for the nation and the world. From that chaos, the president hopes to have excuses to deploy the military and that swing voters will look to him as the candidate in order to bring order and safety back to America. Not only is that divisive tactic dangerous to the nation, it obscures the real issues. We need to end racism. We need to have proper public safety programs. We need to deal with climate change. And we need to generate public revenues from those with the most, not slash services for those most in need. The president may realize that he's on the wrong side of history, but he's not looking beyond November. The real leaders are in the streets calling for change. Will the street win? We should all hope so.